providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. You know, I got to tell you, Amy is a very interesting person. I know that that particular subject wasn't particularly relevant to politics, but I have to tell you, this is the first show, aside from the giant called NBC, that has aired her story. She was on NBC last Sunday. She was probably on for an hour. I'm not talking about some little station someplace. I'm talking about the NBC network. On this program, what we try to do is we try to educate you about the positive things in life. And I got to tell you, what Amy Jane is doing is she's doing something that, in my opinion, is very, very positive. And that's why I wanted to air that in KER Politics. Having said that, another guy who's, I have to say, very, very positive and a real inspiration to me is a guy named Dr. John Huber. Dr. Huber, I guess I should say, out of respect. His publicist, Ryan McCormick, is very, very, very prolific in terms of sending out information about John almost on a daily basis. And a couple of the missives that he has sent me really got my attention. And I think they are topics that you need to be aware of. Now, this is not opinion, ladies and gentlemen. This is cold, hard facts from a fellow with a PhD in psychology, a very well-known man in his industry, John Huber. John, you are talking right now, among other things, and the first one I want to deal with has to do with the downside, the dangers to society of the internet. You got the mic, man. You can go on as long as you want. I found that to be a fascinating, fascinating topic.
Well, I think everybody knows about the potential danger for young children and like that. So I'm not going to go into how kids can be exploited and stuff like that. I'm talking about the subtle dangers that people don't realize happens to them. And, you know, we've talked before about social media and its addictive properties and how people do become addicted to the social media, the likes and the attention you get on there from people who you may not actually know. And, you know, we've talked about it, but chemically what happens is if somebody gives you a like, you get a little bit of a dopamine bump, very much like you do if you were using heroin, only not as intense and not as strong. And when that bump goes away, which it doesn't last very long, it's very subtle, but it leaves you craving more. And so you do more things on social media. And what we find out is that you stay involved in that, and you start getting attached to it, not just because there are people there who are paying attention to you, but there's this emotional outlet there. And in fact, it's designed in such a way that it is trying to get you to be as emotional as possible. That does a lot of things. One of the things it does is it makes you more susceptible to advertisement, which are on things like Facebook. And Facebook knows this, and they've actually done studies of this. And just recently, University of Buffalo out of New York did this study, and they watched and they measured people's intelligence quotient, their IQ, as they were online versus offline. And what they found out is the more you're online, the less your brain thinks rationally, and it actually lowers your IQ score while you're functioning in that social media world. Now, that makes you more susceptible to more emotional reactivity, and it lowers your IQ even more. Slows down your cognitive thought process, throws down your ability to defend against things like maybe not so honest advertising, maybe some political pushing and persuading that is not completely honest and true, and it makes you more likely to fall for that type of stuff. And that's very disturbing on lots of levels. But if we think about ourselves as being animals, which we are basically biologically, we have higher cognitive functions, but we're still animals. And what we know is biology, nature wants us to take the path of least resistance. Just like water going downhill, it's going to go around boulders. It's going to go around trees instead of trying to go through them. What happens is our brain actually shuts down centers in our brain to save and conserve energy when we have access to these types of electronics. In fact, here in Texas, University of Texas in Austin, they did a study about 2 years ago, maybe it was 3 years ago. I don't remember the exact date. But what they did is they had professors at the university create their tests, but make two different tests that are identical, that assess the same thing, same content, and split one test into two. And then what they did is they had one group of students come in and take the test with their cell phones out visible, not turned on, just out on the desk visible. And then had another group take the test at the same time with their cell phones actually locked up in another room where they couldn't see it. It was not accessible to them. And then they took a break and had both groups switch. So one of them had the cell phone out in front of them that had it locked up, and the one that had them out before it now had their phone locked up. And what they found out was, regardless of whether they went first or second with their cell phone locked up, if their cell phone was not available for them, they scored higher on the test than if they had the cell phone out there. And that supports that theory that your brain is shutting down different areas in itself to conserve energy, because why think about it when you can just look it up on the cell phone, on Google, for example. And in fact, I've had several, and I had this discussion earlier this morning with one of my patients, how he was finding it difficult now to remember how to get places that he used to go all the time, because he turns on his travel app that right. tells him where to turn and everything else. So he's actually finding it difficult. And even though he's been to these places thousands of times over his life, he still has this urge, I have to turn on my maps program to be able to get there. And it's because your brain is conserving energy. And it, in effect, is dumbing down this country, and it's making us not think clearly. And we wonder why we have young people coming up who know no world without smartphones. I mean, they hit the ground in 2007 for the public. So we're talking 12 years of cell phones. Most people didn't get them until they were, 10, 12, 13 years old. So these people are in their 20s, maybe as old as 24, 25 years old, and they don't really know a world without smartphones.
No, they really don't. John, I want to just interrupt you for a second, and I just want to bring up a point. One of the reasons I really wanted to focus on this particular subject is because I'm involved in our neighborhood in some what I would call heavy intellectual endeavors. Okay, we have a book club, and we don't talk about, we don't talk about the Hardy Boys and things like that. We talk about very sophisticated novels. And I have to say, we have one guy in that book club, a good friend of mine, who cannot answer a question without pulling out his iPhone. Now, the result of that is he appears to be very, very bright, because if you want to know when did Sinclair Lewis write Elmer Gantry? Well, he'll pull out his cell phone and he'll tell you exactly, the famous line, slide into second base for Jesus, occurred. The fact of the matter is, I am terrified by the mind control, John, that exists in our country primarily because of the internet. I don't know a single individual, and I have to say most of my friends are pretty sophisticated, pretty successful, and pretty bright. And I want to just say one other thing that I'd like you to comment on, then we got to take a real quick commercial break. But they are totally addicted to their laptops, 100%. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think that is a real danger, and that's what I'm talking about, the dangers of the internet, of cell phones, social media, is we don't even realize it's happening to us. It's creeping up and becoming part of us. It's kind of like the old Star Trek, the Borg, they've assimilated.
Yeah.
And I recommend people take a break. Take at least one day a week.
You got to take a break, and we have to take a break right now. Dr. John Huber, I really appreciate this conversation. We're going to be right back, guys.